Hi, welcome back to Cambridge Inside Out. I am Judy Nathans.
I'm still Robert Winters.
And it's still January.
Whether you
15th.
Like it or not.
Yeah, right.
So I don't know. Let's see. Maybe we should just dive right in, talk a little bit about something which was not specific to the city council.
No, but because of the city and our policies and everything.
Yeah. So happened. So let's not be too cryptic here. Yeah,
we can just go to. You want to show this?
Well, I'll do 1 second here. Yeah. So on Saturday there's a group. It's called the Livable Cambridge. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, I get a little confused because it was a Cambridge
hosted by Friends of Livable Cambridge, neighbor to, so it was many groups too, but yeah, Livable Cambridge.
All right. So anyway, this is, let me just see what the flyer was. This was the flyer. Okay. Yeah. So it was and you know, there was, yes, it was featured with Jim Tingle, you know, Why Local Politics Mattered, but the big featured headline was Community Forum, How Big Is Too Big?
Yeah.
Which is kind of making a statement saying this is our concern, you know.
Yeah.
What do you want for more livable Cambridge, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, right? Hosted by Livable Cambridge, neighborhood association leaders, and other volunteer groups. You know, and the, you know, I think the little graphic at the bottom is showing some little houses as well as a couple of big buildings.
Well, I think it's showing different neighborhoods. That's to
maybe
me
so.
What,
yeah, maybe yeah. So. Okay. Right. So anyway, that was the backdrop of it here. Now, just a little bit of the background for this. Before this happened, you know, when I first heard it was happening, it was largely advertised through things like Facebook and whatnot. So.
But even before that, everyone got that publication about trees, which was the same group.
Well, yes and no. And actually,
did you get the right one? There it is. Cambridge News, it's called. Yeah.
Right.
Yes and no, but part of it. Because Charles T.
And this, right. So this basically encouraged people to come to a public hearing about trees and whatever.
That was the tree, yeah.
So this is very much a different thing.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
But it's some of the same people. I was a little perplexed that one of the, I think it was actually Suzanne Vie who announced it, referred to this Association for Cambridge Neighborhoods, which is the entity that Charlie Teague kind of wraps himself in.
Association for ACN?
ACN, which is confusing because it's
a Better Cambridge, which is...
There's AB... Well, okay. There's a lot of acronyms. Right. So anyway, referred to this as the umbrella organization that represents us all, and I said... I don't think anybody who's ever interacted really with ACN would really honestly view it that way.
Yeah.
It's yet another little group of people who got a point of view, you know?
Yeah.
And that's it. Whether it's a good one or bad one isn't the issue. It's just that they don't represent anybody, really.
Well.
You know? I think they'd like to, but they don't, right? So the thing is, why was there a forum being held? I think the name gives it away.
Mm-hmm.
You know, How Big Is Too Big is... It's a little bit of a hearkening back to sentiments that I remember hearing very loud and clear during the 1990s, right? Back when you had Cambridge Residents for Growth Management.
Mm.
Everybody was concerned about the rapid escalation then of commercial development.
Right.
And so rent control was still in place initially. Early 90s. But the thing is by the time later in the decade happened, it wasn't so much people's concern about commercial growth so much as it was the fact is that the city
rents
was
rising and
wasn't really happening in a rapid way yet. But the thing
with the loss of rent control.
It still took a little while for things to really start going crazy. But what happened was that the city policies were very much sort of like, we got to build more housing. Right? Mm. So they changed things in various, basically the biggest one was probably that any area, basically housing became a permitted use in pretty much every zone in the city. And that included former industrial zones. So what you were seeing then, without any need for any special rezoning to do it, if you had someplace like in North Point or Alewife, where you used to have things like steel manufacturing or fabrication, and then there, or else it was warehouses, that you could just build housing in them, and the city was encouraging it. And it started to happen, and it happened very rapidly. I would argue that, in fact, the Envision Cambridge thing really happened because it was a lot of rapid housing growth happening around Alewife.
Well, Alewife, more so than even
Well, because that's Kendall. Where those were the former industrial areas.
Right.
So the thing is that the big concern is not quite analogous to what we had during the 1990s, where the fear was commercial growth. It was more rapid
housing
growth and the scale heights of the housing density, growth, right. housing density, et cetera. All right. So that was, and the Envision Cambridge process, for what it's worth, basically some of the provisions that are coming out of that are talking about building more density. And some people like it, some people don't. I think more people have warmed up to density as sort of a can be a good thing sort of thing, as opposed to all density must be opposed, right?
Right.
But the thing is some of the recommendations that we saw in some of the early ideas from Envision Cambridge included things like promoting pretty large scale buildings,
in areas that are more used to like Harvard Square, Porter Square,
places like that. I think in Central Square, a lot of people around Central Square said, sure, we can do that. But other places in the city, not necessarily. Mm. You know, it's like some of the corridors, like whether it's Cambridge Street or Massachusetts Avenue, whatever, should they be seeing 17-story buildings, or what's going to happen, right? So I think that's the background about what people were concerned about.
I thought they're concerned about what's happening in the little neighborhoods so that they could have a four-unit building.
Well, okay, so that's probably what that's probably the straw that broke the camel's back was when the city of Cambridge, in its not so infinite wisdom, chose to
promote
some specific aspects of this, having to do with this so-called affordable housing overlay as well as super inclusionary and some other things. So. Which basically said, not only do we want to have super heights in certain places, but also we think that you people who are living in Res A or Res B districts, you're a bunch of snotty rich people, and we got to put some six-story buildings next to you. I'm basically saying this was
Robert
the perception.
Robert is paraphrasing here.
Right, but this is the perception that leads to the concern. Okay? You know, whether that's exact truth or not, that's not so much the issue. But so they put together this forum. And now what I noted as soon as it was starting getting promoted was that the livable people came out and they were saying, you know, I think the spin was, we're a little worried about this density. And then some of a better Cambridge people said, oh yeah, well, we're going to show up at your meeting.
Did they?
Oh, yes, they did. Oh,
okay.
He says, you know, and then there was some say, oh, are they going to pack the meeting? What's going to happen here? Is this just going to be a shouting match? Mm. And I think maybe, and again, I may be reading more into this than I'm entitled to, but then there was a bit of a change in tone, like, oh, this is going to be a get-together. We're all going to get along, and we're all going to be able to talk to each other, whatever.
And it wasn't just about housing.
Right. And by the way, I think that's the reason why at this meeting on Saturday, where there was actually an exercise where the person who was leading it, Carla, was actually saying, I want everybody to close your eyes and I want you to visualize this. And like for like 2 minutes, they were like, people close their eyes in the room.
Wait, that happened there?
This
I'm
happened
so
at the
glad
meeting.
I didn't go.
I purposely left my eyes wide open the whole time. And I will tell you, there were city councilors.
There were five counselors, and at least a few of them, when
the instruction was everybody close your eyes and start meditating in a zen-like way about this, they whacked out their cell phones in about a nanosecond.
All of them?
Oh, all the ones I could see, right?
Okay. So there were five.
And it wasn't just them, it was others too, you know? Yeah. Some of us were like giving the high sign to each other across the room going, hey, this is pretty funny, right?
Yeah, I just don't do that.
But why would they even do that? Because I think there was an anticipation of conflict, which didn't really happen. Okay, maybe that's why it didn't happen. I don't know. But they also chose to bring in, solicit responses from people from various neighborhood associations.
So was it structured that groups would present? How was it structured?
Yes and no. Basically what happened, and again, I'll probably get a little bit of this wrong.
Did anybody videotape it?
Charlie Teague, right?
Oh, well, then it should appear somewhere.
Right, a little in pieces, you know, but you'll show the pieces that are supportive of one's point
Maybe.
Of view, I suppose.
I don't know. It should have been straight.
Well, there was a request put in to do that, but there was not enough lead time to make it happen.
Okay. All right.
Otherwise, I'm sure CCTV
Wait, wasn't it at the senior center?
Isn't it
that,
was.
Isn't that wired for that?
You still got to bring in the cameras to do it. Though.
Okay. So, all right. You're right.
But it was packed. I mean, it was like...
They said 150 people.
Something like that, So actually, a little too much for the room, quite honestly.
Yeah, because you're supposed to sit. It wasn't... you were around tables.
Yeah, we started out, it was like around tables, and there was some food in the back too, you know. But the thing is, so there was some initial presentations, some PowerPoint presentation, which
by
was
who?
Suzanne.
Okay.
Right, who was basically showing the, basically presenting the submissions from the various neighborhood associations, because this way they were able to go through them quickly.
Now, what group does she align herself? Is she align herself with Livewell? I thought she was Harvard. I get confused. There's a couple of Suzannes. Who's Preston? There's a Suzanne. Is that Harvard Square business? I don't know.
No, Suzanne, she's with this Harvard Square Neighborhood
Association. So that is the okay, and they
which
have
is the former Harvard Square Defense Fund is now doing business
as... Okay, so that's... All right, so I'm thinking of the right person.
Right,
okay.
But the thing is, she and a few other people from other neighborhoods sort of were trying to, organize a kind of a new
quasi-political
entity.
We all kind of agree with each other, right.
Right, sort of. So I think this Livable Cambridge is sort of in its...
Like an umbrella thing.
Well, they're trying to create something. And I think, you know, honestly, this
nothing
is going to be a
that.
Municipal election year. And I think there's some effort being expended to try and do a little
instead
organizing.
Instead of each group doing their own thing, maybe they organize that we are now having a forum represent, you know, all of us are going to be there or something.
Well, insofar as I think the city's already going out there and pretty much saying, well, we've already decided this is what the world should be, rather than have an individual neighborhood association saying, well, I don't know if we like that, whatever. They're trying to get something a little bit more unified about that.
Yeah.
So maybe that's really what this is about.
Yeah.
And the thing is, they can't really go to ABC because ABC says build it higher, thicker, deeper, taller, faster, you know?
Yeah.
And then the Cambridge Residents Alliance, which is now, I don't know what the hell they represent because...
They were there, though, no?
But some of their people are gung-ho for more density and height as long as it gives more subsidized housing.
Hmm.
And then some of the other people who I always thought of as associated with the Residents Alliance... are the kind of people who I used to joke and say they'd rather downzone Cambridge to farmland, right? So I think they have a bit of an identity crisis right now.
Well, I mean, that would make sense.
But the thing is that...
You're not going to have everyone agree
on something. But if you're trying to have the question raised about...
Right.
And make it into an issue for your municipal election year.
Yeah.
You're not going to go to ABC and you're not going to go to Cambridge Residents Alliance because they're not going to help you.
Right.
So
this was actually then a good attempt to try to do that.
Right.
Yeah.
I think that Charlie Teague and his Association of Cambridge Neighborhoods is sort of trying to kind of marry up with them on this. Because I think there's a bit of a kind of a already well-established stop development type of mindset amongst them.
Mm.
But we'll see, you know, honestly. One of the things that, and again, I'm not trying to just be the naysayer here, believe me, but... you know, one of the things that inevitably happens when you try and put together a kind of a Cambridge forum on it, pretty much anything, is that you go out there and you say, this is our agenda, this is what we want to do. You put in your title, how big is too big, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But then when you actually have like open time for open questions, all the usual characters start showing up and they basically try and hijack your meeting.
Yeah.
So, you know, so, and again, they may be totally legitimate concerns. If somebody says, well, I was homeless and I did this and that, I go, well...
Yeah.
Yeah, that's an important idea, and I'm really sympathetic, but why are you bringing that up at a forum about how big is too big, which is about urban planning, right?
Well,
you know, I sometimes jokingly refer to it as the silver maple forest effect, which is the phenomenon where no matter what the meeting is about, this is a few years ago, somebody would get up and then want to put in about 10 minutes of an appeal for saving the silver maple forest.
Except that your example of homelessness is connected on some level.
Connected on some level.
I mean, it's housing. It's like there's no housing for it. Whatever.
Right.
I'm just...
Right.
But you're right. I mean, you have to be pretty
right. So,
careful.
So the meeting after the neighborhood association people made their little mini introductions, whatever, they went to open questions. That's when things kind of wandered off the reservation.
How did they do that? Who picked the questioners?
You know what? All right, I'm going to make a confession, which is at that point I started going, I'm losing interest. So I went out to the corridor and started just shooting the breeze with friends.
Which is what you usually do.
Yeah. So, you know, me and Patrick Barrett are out there.
But who was the person calling on
actually,
people?
Sean Cherney, former city council candidate, and also guy knows a thing or two about housing and housing.
No, but he was outside.
So he was at the meeting, and then we were also chatting outside as well.
Yeah,
you know. So and then I went back inside when Jimmy Tingle got to talking. And the thing I would say about Jimmy Tingle about this was that, you know, so I know. Oh yeah, I should just also say this is that when there's a room where I can scan the room and realize I personally know 3/4 or more of the people, then that tells me that you haven't really done reached outreach. Out to the
Okay.
But so, you know, so it's a gathering of activists, all right?
It's all right. The people that show up at public comment. It's the
So in that sense, how different is it from anything else? I really don't know. But the thing is that an activist in Cambridge tend to sort of have a point of view. You know, I'm right, you're wrong, that's it, right? So Jimmy Tingle comes on to close out the show. It's a two-hour meeting, so he does sort of a bit of a thing. It's a bit of like stand-up, but he's he was actually being very, very topical and specific. But the overriding theme of Jimmy's bit was about compromise. And I thought, wow, that's great. You know, and he specifically said, you know, I mean, his mom, you know, lived on Broadway, whatever, you know, and family had some property in Cambridge and said, you know, not everybody during the rent control years loved all aspects of rent control. But on the other hand, a lot of people are kind of bothered that the rents just went out of this world after the end of rent control. So, you know, now some of my friends with the small property owners would probably are thrilled that there is no such thing as rent control.
Are you saying it's not for you, or that's what Jimmy said?
No, I'm just speaking for me here right now. But the thing is that so the SPOA people are probably just thrilled with the outcome, right? But not everybody's so thrilled with the outcome. And there was even back there in the rent control years, there was some speculation: is there a way to find a compromise, to sort of, you know, be fair to everybody? And nobody was interested in finding that compromise.
And that's why they it went to a state referendum, because the they didn't do what they could have done.
And they exactly.
You know.
So he was making that point. Here you're having a meeting about density, and people are like, how are you going to meet housing needs and affordability, and da 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 da. He said, do you realize part of the reason why you're having the debate now? And the crisis now is because people weren't able to find compromise back when they possibly had a chance to do so. And, you know, and I think it's appropriate to point out that that was because it was a political impossibility to find compromise.
You wouldn't get voted in.
It was structurally made impossible. Because if you were a person who was pro-rent control and you wavered and you said, well, maybe we ought to cross the aisle and go and talk to these folks here.
There goes that vote.
Then they, the first thing they want to do is disendorse you, throw you out the building, right? And the same thing is if you were a person who was running on the other side of the coin and you said, well, maybe rent control is not so bad, they didn't want any part of you. So
what do you think is happening now? I mean, in terms of what would be the compromise?
I don't know that we have one in play right now. It's just we're, but on the other hand, I also don't view that the situation right now as a permanent state of affairs. For example, accelerating rents, just do the math, cannot sustain forever. So there has to be a leveling off.
I don't know about that. They seem to...
No, I mean, the thing is, it's already, it's leveling off. The rate of acceleration, it is found...
The property values are just continue to go up. I mean,
I didn't say they're going to go down. You know, I think that would be a the only way you'd ever see property values go down is if there was a not just a recession in this country, but a worse.
Well, where locally. where tech went exploded, and then all the people that are buying these million and a half units can't afford them anymore.
So I think the best anybody can hope for is a leveling off of rents, and then over time, if it's if the that leveling is adequate. And if, you know, as inflation happens on its own too, that maybe, in fact, affordability just starts to happen again. But it's not going to happen soon. I think anybody thinks it's going to happen soon is kidding themselves. Right? But on the other hand, there are things that you do have to do. And I think anybody who really understands any of this understands you've got to build some housing in the region. Right? Because if people are competing for a finite supply of a good, you know, this, you know, they're going to be displacing people. They're going to be driving the costs out. They're going to be outbidding each other. It's going to be a problem. But anyway, I appreciated Jimmy just talking about the concept of a compromise. You know, there's a part of me, you know, if I'm feeling optimistic, I think, well, maybe people are understanding where he's coming from. And then there's the other part of me says, that's probably when they started tuning him out, when he started saying the word
compromise. I don't know about that. With the government shutdown and everything, I think he's also speaking to a larger issue, too. That, you know, you wonder, well, maybe is there a compromise? But I don't know.
You know, I mean, in my when I in my time during this whole Envision process, I mean, I kind of thought there was. I'm not so positive about that right now because of what the recommendations seem to me so to be more like the activist's wish list. You know, and that's not how you find compromise. Compromise to me would mean, well, transit-oriented development, heights mm-hmm. and densities do make sense in some places, mm-hmm. and maybe they don't make sense in other places. Mm-hmm. Compromise might also mean saying that maybe the city of Cambridge doesn't have to be one thing. Mm-hmm. Maybe it doesn't have to be, you know, density, density, density. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's not such a bad thing to have some parts of the city that are high density and some that are relatively
low. We have many kinds of neighborhoods and many kinds of places that are... And maybe, I don't want it to all look alike.
Right, but maybe that's something we should celebrate rather than trying to challenge.
Yeah.
You know, the rhetoric that's coming out of a lot of the ABC people right now is basically pretty nasty. Mm. They're basically saying, oh, you're a bunch of older people living, you know, who are rich, who are living mm-hmm. in this part of town here.
You have too much space, you know, and or whatever. I don't know. Are they really saying things like that?
Yeah.
Are they all for the affordable overlay thing?
Gung-ho. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think part of it is basically they want to stick it to the man. You know, they want to... There is almost like a vengeful quality to the rhetoric.
But some of those, they're not Occupy Boston people necessarily.
You know,
some of them are property owners, aren't they? I mean,
if 30% of Cambridge was like, you know, like people with mansions and nobody could...
30%?
You know, it's not that way. It's actually a relatively small fraction.
You think so? I don't know. I mean, it's pretty high income.
No, that's not what I'm saying.
What are you saying?
The mere fact that we'll use an epithet like Brattle Street means it's relatively localized. You know, there are some areas like Shady Hill.
Cambridge is going $3 million houses.
I'm not talking about the cost of housing. I'm just talking about the architecture and the density of the housing.
Okay.
Mid-Cambridge is largely packed full of triple-deckers.
Definitely. I think Cambridge is more...
It's primarily residence
C. Two and three, yes.
C1. So it's pretty dense,
yes,
you know, but there are some residence B districts in the city. There's some residence A districts, but it's not that much.
Okay, in that respect, yes,
right.
I see what you're saying.
But it seems to me that there are some people, including some elected officials, mm-hmm. who are not going to be happy until they basically cram a bunch of apartment buildings into some residence A districts because we've got to show those people, you know?
Well, that's extreme. I think we're talking about along the corridors, not right in the middle of Brattle and Spark Street, are we?
I don't know.
And I think there are some two families.
I think there is a place for some compromise in people's perspectives about this to say, you know, it's not a bad thing to be able to sort of take people down Brattle Street and say, look at the mansions. Some of these are mm-hmm. old historic figures here. And then still be able to go down to East Cambridge and enjoy
every city
density
has
and,
that Cosmos kind and Damiano of you know
festival.
Terrain in a way because you've had
so let's
people
celebrate
that
go, it. You know, I forget where I wrote it, but I wrote something like, you know, diversity comes in many forms, mm-hmm. and that includes diversity of densities, diversity mm-hmm. of income, or whatever. Yeah. And you know, try to homogenize things by just somehow driving people out because. They're not quite of your economic strata.
All right, I just don't see it as that extreme. But then you're around people,
I'm dealing,
but I just feel
there's a reason why I'm no longer affiliated with any of these organizations, quite honestly.
Yeah.
The narrow rhetoric of
well, I just hate hearing the same voices, the same people, you know, I get tired of it.
I think that's a valid concern.
But I'm glad they have a voice. I'm not out there saying anything. So
what will become of this? How big is too big?
So what was the end? I just read the, you know, some stuff on it, environment and climate change was actually the issue.
As we would say, it's a non-scientific survey. So if you basically just take, you ask some representatives mm-hmm. of the relatively non-representative neighborhood associations, what are your highest priorities?
Yeah. There was a form you had to fill out, right?
And then you make a list.
Yeah.
Okay. Then you basically say, okay, how many people said trees? How many people said climate change?
And then they had it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
But I mean, you don't have to be a statistician to know that there's not a whole lot of validity in making a ranking system that way. Mm. But the thing is what it is still, it's an expression of concern, right?
So
it's anecdotal.
Right.
So saying what ranked first, second, third is meaningless. But it is pretty clear as we head into this municipal election year that there are a lot of people who would like things like protection of tree canopy, mm-hmm. Putting some limitations on growth so that even if there's transit-oriented development and some more density, that it's not, you know, just out of scale like crazy. Yeah,
makes sense.
Right? I think that will be a big point of discussion. There'll be the usual issues, you know, bike lanes, et cetera. Like, it's inescapable.
Oh, yeah. River Street came up last night, too.
Yeah.
That's going
to
be.
Yeah. Cool. So, the way you have to interpret what happened on Saturday was not so much like, well, what was the outcome? What happens next? So much
it was more as a way to people.
It was an expression of where we are, like a little snapshot of where some sentiments are, and we'll see where it goes. You know, I mean, as I say, some of the very people who were in there at a forum on how big is too big, I happen to know, are very much in favor of big. Mm-hmm. You know, and they were there. And some of them.
So what is there any follow? Did they say how this is going to progress from here? Will there be another meeting? Or
I'm sure there will be other meetings and other forums and other things, you know. And I hope it isn't just doesn't just devolve into some kind of a legitimization of like the Association of Cambridge Neighborhoods as being something that it isn't, you know. You know, honestly, if I can get through the end of 2019 and watch a better Cambridge, the Cambridge Residents Alliance, Association of Cambridge Neighborhoods, basically just dissolve, I'll be the happiest
man
on earth.
Good luck on that one. Right. Well, they're all going to have forums.
Everybody's competing for saying we are the legitimate voice of the people, and they're not. None of them are. None of them. The neighborhood associations, some of them do better or worse jobs of it. You know, I always said groups like the Agassiz Neighborhood Council, who is a child center, they operate daycares, they open up an art gallery, whatever. They're the best. Porter Square Neighbors Association, they're trying to make everything work really well, a good matching of the commercial and the residential parts of Porter Square.
Well, Cambridge Court Neighborhood Association.
I have a lot of respect for Cambridge
Court Neighborhood Association. And all the people there. I mean, they're helping with the whole... Well, that's separate, but Magazine Beach came out of that.
And there are others, I'm sure, as well. Yeah. But the thing is that I'm not going to sort of give a check mark to neighborhood associations just because they're neighborhood associations.
No, but I think the neighbors have been around longer than, say, Better Cambridge and the others. Okay,
that's true.
Say goodbye.
Anyway,
are we here next week?
I think we're here next week.
Okay.
See you then.
Bye.